Tonight, Patty Vasquez has a radio show and my computer's not working. Coming up right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
That's all right, Craig. I'm busy watching Jimmy Kimmel, where Harrison
Ford
you
do your thing.
Is making
totally
an appearance.
Fun.
I'm really enjoying this interview. Yeah. I'm not encouraging anyone to turn away from their radio or WGNradio.com, where you're most certainly watching our live stream. But I really like Harrison Ford, and he's being very charming. He apparently took a picture with MC Hammer at a TED Talks convention, and he can't name an MC Hammer song. So.
Well, that happens.
What's let's see. Can't touch this. And Jimmy Kimmel asked him why he thinks MC Hammer wore big pants. He goes, maybe he needs to wear big pants.
Oh.
Implying
that he has large legs.
Yes.
Okay.
Big quads. I have big quads as well.
Yeah. You've been doing a lot of stairs.
Exactly.
We have the Pheasantly band on tonight. Pheasantry band on tonight.
I've heard it both ways.
Yep. Me too. I think they prefer Pheasantry, though.
We also have Yenny Alvarez. Who is a young woman who was born in Cuba, mm-hmm. came to the United States when she was in her teens, and went on to star in one of the most successful Spanish-speaking sitcoms in television history.
Right.
So we're going to talk to her about the president's visit to Cuba.
She also deserves a medal because she is married to Mark DiCarlo.
Mark DiCarlo, who really enjoys scaring the bejesus out of her every chance he gets. By the way, I'm going to house sit for them.
Oh.
Coming up. They're going to New Orleans. I kind of want to go to New Orleans, but apparently I'm house-sitting for them.
Well, but that's in Los Angeles. That's also a nice time.
Well, I'm also going because I also have another round of meetings.
Ooh.
It's so crazy.
Patty's famous.
No, I'm not.
And then we also have Steve Dale on the show.
We have Steve Dale.
To talk about pets.
Well, not just pets, but apparently there's a new ordinance that the city is trying to pass where you can be fined $500 for not cleaning up the excrement from your pets in your yard.
Yep.
So even if it's in your, because that's the whole, right.
Doggy excrement is now going to be a thing.
Yes, excrement.
I just said doggy too, by the way.
Yeah.
That felt uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, I think it should be for any pet.
Right.
We had a guy out here on Michigan Avenue, had a cat he was out for a walk
that
with.
That doesn't make any sense.
Do you think that doesn't, I didn't.
Okay, I had conversations today with my sister-in-law about leash training a cat. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing. You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
How? You can walk a cat.
You can walk a cat. What?
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. They and sell little.
You gotta start early.
Things.
Wait, but then they like go outside and stuff too. They don't need like a litter box.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think they did before?
In nature, they built a litter box.
they had
built
plastic.
A natural litter box. Yeah, they would get the sand and scoop it into their area. And, you know.
Craig, there are people who teach their cats how to use the toilet.
I've seen that on movies.
Yeah, for reals, people do that.
That also can't be a thing.
Well, the thing
is, how does the cat get up? What does he do? He gets up on the toilet,
perches, and gets all comfortable. He has a magazine sometimes. Maybe he's got his phone.
Do they have
playing
like
a Candy Crush?
Do they have like a cat top thing? Like, does it sit? Okay,
not that I know of. I'm sure by now, I can't imagine the market is big enough to mass produce an item for your cat to use.
No, there is.
There
is.
Oh my god, I almost
used it, but I. Didn't,
you almost what now?
You almost used it to go to the bathroom or for a cat?
For my cat, but I didn't realize how it was supposed to go on the toilet, so I gave it away because I'm like, this is useless.
Does your cat use the toilet?
No, because I wasn't able to
use the item.
I wasn't able to put the stupid thing
like
on the toilet.
Yeah, but it sounds like you just teach your cat to use it without the item.
Mm-hmm, you can.
Well, no, you have to train them.
Yeah,
that's a whole training thing.
Okay, so can we explain to me the training process behind
By
that?
By the way, Bob Ferguson is coming in because I still have the Jimmy Kimmel sound. I didn't turn it all the way off. I know. See, Bob, I was having the same problem. I think the power
They're making TV suggestions, too. There, don't pull the mic closer.
No, don't pull it closer.
That's more Jimmy Kimmel.
Can you hear it?
I am really curious about this training. Like when the cat has to go to the restroom, you can tell, and then you just put him on the toilet?
No. You just leave the door open and the cat goes.
Or put a cat door on the door.
If the cat would just choose to use the toilet, then all cats would be doing this.
No, it's not like you go, hey, cat, use the toilet.
And don't forget the flush.
Yes, you train, so that's what I'm asking about, the training. Do you actually pick the cat up and put him on the toilet all the time?
So what happens is it's like a shallow plastic thing you put on the toilet.
Oh, my God.
And you're supposed to, you first put the litter box next to the toilet so they figure they put two and two together.
Okay.
And then you pour some
or
of the litter. Yes, there you go.
Do you put the litter box on top for a little while?
No, you pour some of the litter in this thing, and then you start popping out rings. So it has rings.
That didn't sound good.
And you pop them out, and the cat just slowly figures out, oh, this is where I go now.
Here is a cat's most dedicated goal when it comes to their excrement
okay.
is they see it as a path to their demise. So they do everything they can to get rid of it. That's why they bury it in their litter box, right? Like when dogs go, they're like, did that. They do a mic drop, but they do a poop drop and they walk away, right? But cats are, that's why they're so fastidious about hiding it. So I would imagine.
Good word, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Mark that down.
Please. I will.
That's I believe it's the first time.
A good patty word.
Maybe the second time we've reused it. Uh-huh. But I would imagine the fact that it disappears into this porcelain bowl is going to be magical to a cat.
You were a cat owner. I'm forgetting
I
this.
Had two cats, yeah. Yes. There, and I went through different phases of solutions for the cat disposal and for their, you know, that all that stuff.
Okay.
There was one product that came out. It was beads. There were these like little, oh my God. And like the idea was that.
Do we know where this is going?
Well, it was supposed to be less odoriferous.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, thank you. There's two. It's okay. A two for one segment. And it was actually, it was better to the nose, but then the cats would obviously at some point also kick these little pebbles out into the, out of, you know, out of the box, and then you would just hear them rolling around like all the time. Like,
and they were cool with it?
Who, the cats?
Yeah.
It took them a while. We would have, in the same way you have to sort of train the cat to go from the litter box to the toilet, we would have the old litter and then the new litter in boxes side by side. Plus you have to have a litter box per cat. That's because, you know, they're very particular about how they dispose of their waste. So, yep. So
I heard they were fastidious about
fastidious,
that.
Fastidious, yes, yeah. They are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
They're persnickety.
This
about
was
it.
A really good cat segment we just did.
Well,
screw Steve Dale.
No,
we don't need him.
No, we have a lot to talk about with Steve Dale.
Okay.
Well, and I feel bad because my mother has a dog. They live downstairs, and I know that my mother sometimes, you know, takes her a while to get out there and clean up after the dog. So I'm wondering, like, I wish there were just neighborhood services to you just pay somebody. You know, it's kind of like shoveling. You get someone to make sure they get out in the yard and shovel and get the poop.
Yeah. It's got to be a thing.
Uh-huh. Got to stay on top of that.
Sounds like a terrible job.
It really does a number on the grass, too, by the way.
Yeah, I imagine.
The dog's urine
right.
does not help the lawn at all.
I learned that on Pete and Pete, the Nickelodeon show.
There you go. Uh-huh. I've never watched that. But there is such a, it's just such a ease, right, to open the door, especially in the wintertime. You open the door, let your dog out, right? So, and then it's in the snow. It's when the snow melts, you go, wow, that really got out of control.
Well, that's why I think I'm more of a dog person than a cat person. There mm-hmm. seems to be some low-maintenance situations for
yeah,
dogs.
Yeah, but then you don't have to think about... No, but then you can just leave the cat for, like,
yeah, you can.
A whole
yeah,
day. You don't have to come running back because you're afraid the cat's going to pee on your rug.
Yeah, but in the process, that cat is going to fill up the litter box.
We've done something
yeah,
to...
Yeah, that's like...
It's
gonna
be a full-on
week.
Litter box.
Yeah, you gotta, it takes a long time for it. Oh, man, those
does
big,
it?
Those big pee cakes,
yeah.
those were nasty oh, in the box. Wait. We've inspired many people to call us about our cat and dog ownership. 312-981-7200. You're welcome to join the conversation. After this, I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. On our show tonight, we have the band Peasantry. We also have Steve Dale, who's going to talk to us a little bit about a new ordinance that the city wants to pass where you may be fined $500 if you do not take care of the pet waste in your yard. Brandy had a comment to make about that. Hey, Brandy, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. That's hard to say, isn't it? For me, it is. But happy Monday. Let's do that.
I was calling because I have two large dogs, and last spring, I haven't seen them so...
What? Did I do anything?
There was two boys that came around, probably high school age,
uh-huh.
maybe maybe juniors in high school, and they said that we will clean up your waste, you know, when all the snow melts, of all the dog poop. And
right.
I think I paid them $45, and... They were done in less than a half an hour, but I'm glad I got put on hold because the funniest part about it was, you know how they have two men in a truck?
Yes.
These boys had business cards made up, and it was two boys with baggies.
Two boys with baggies. Wow.
I thought it was so cute, and it was brilliant. I mean, I was more than willing to pay.
Wow.
So yeah, they... I'm hoping they're millionaires somewhere by now. It was brilliant.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You've got your shovels for the winter. The snow goes away. It wasn't a very productive, you know, winter. So why not find...
Oh, it was productive.
That's resourceful. All right, so, Brandy, you're like me. You're like, it's cold out. I'm just opening the back door.
Yes, absolutely. And it was, last winter especially, was lots of snow. So spring was odoriferous, as you said. Yeah.
Odoriferous. Yep. And that's the thing, is that if you're not taking your dog for a walk, you're certainly not going out and cleaning up after the dog. No. No. Plus,
exactly.
Plus, it all gets buried. Well, thank you, Brandy. If we'll keep our ears and eyes open for two boys with baggies.
Yeah, there you go, hon. All right, good luck.
Thank you, Brandy. Talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, Kathy, what did you want to say?
I have three cats.
Uh-huh.
And if two of them have to go at the same time, one sit on one side till the other one is finished, and then she'll go in. Never had a problem.
Really? Interesting.
And sometimes, it's, you know how cats fight? They'll get in a fight. But when you hit the litter pan, it's a true hairy. They don't fight there.
They don't fight by the litter box. That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't train them. They're just cool cats.
They're just cool cats. Well, maybe because you're cool, Kathy. Thank you so much. That's interesting. Talk to you again soon. See, I was told that you had to have at least one litter box per cat, but that was, I don't know, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. I think it depends.
Right.
Depends on, like,
who wants to make that mistake?
Well, yeah, and then they poop everywhere.
Exactly.
And then cats are so finicky that sometimes you don't know. It could be, you know, they don't want to use the same one.
Right.
Or they don't want to use the same floor. Or they, like, say you have two floor house,
mm-hmm.
They don't want to go downstairs. Mm-mm. So you have to put one upstairs, one down. It's like, it's ridiculous with cats sometimes.
You got to adjust, because they do not, for the most part, do not adjust for you.
No, they do not.
Although there's a great little video that Elliot Serrano posted of a cat lying like on a blanket on a counter, like a something, some sort of ledge, and you see the blanket start to slide, and the cat realizes it's going to go down with the blanket, and it realizes in that moment, I'm a cat, this shouldn't be happening, and that was exactly how my cat Shoeless was. He would like slip off of things, and at the very last moment before he like just fell to his doom, he would have this look of like, no.
I get that look a lot.
Yes. He just always had this moment. He tried to look all casual. And then he would like try to look all casual. Like no one saw that, right? No one?
Yeah.
No one saw that?
You gotta pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah. No, that is my favorite part of cats.
Yeah.
Whenever they fall or something, then they lick their paws. And I read it was a thing. They're like, they're trying to compose themselves.
Yeah, they're like, I meant to do that. What? What are you all looking at? Well, we'll talk to Steve Dale about that coming up at 12:30 about the cat litter box situation and this ordinance the city is trying to pass. Any other interesting and important animal information that we should have. Craig and I spent the weekend at C2E2. We didn't get to see each other. It was so big.
It was packed,
it's a massive event.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I met and took a selfie with Edward James Olmos.
I saw that.
I nerded out so hard in front of him. Esmeralda.
Did you actually get an autograph too?
Well, what I did was, you know what? Turns out I have a press pass.
Yeah.
And apparently, if there isn't a long line, I can have a few words with the celebrities.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I had a press pass.
Yeah. So we need to be more aware of that, because this was at the very end yesterday.
Wow.
I did not utilize that to my best. So I went up and I got really, before I started just freaking out before I even went to all the way up to his table. And Steve was like, take Griffin with you. I was like, okay. And I mean, my listeners know that I talk quickly. You have absolutely, the look on his face was like, I have absolutely no idea what this woman is talking about. But I went up there and Griffin said it wasn't as bad as I'm making it out to be. It was pretty significant in my, okay, I just want to thank you so much for the contributions you made for Latinos and for our experience and what you've, and I like all like my, I had an accent and what you've done for, what you've done for my family. And and when you were at the Alma Awards and you told, because Jessica Alba and Christina Aguilera were giving Linda Carter like a hard time, and they were like, oh, anyone's being Latina now. And you said, oh, she was out there being Latina before anybody else, because she's, I seriously flipped out.
Yeah, I had no idea what you just said.
You didn't yell anything, did you? Like raise a fist?
Yeah, did it
go like,
getting...
Viva la raza!
Oh, my voice.
That would have been great, actually, if you had done
that. Awesome.
A little bit. It was a little, I mean, I think he picked up every other word.
Good.
I managed to give his publicist my card,
Oh, cool.
And I said, I think I was calm when I said, I host a radio show on WGN. And he goes, oh, we were with you folks on Friday. I said, no, that was TV. But
right. The same thing. It's kind of the same thing. Said, you should just come do the radio show.
Yeah, we would love to have you on the phone.
Oh, we would. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I pulled up references that everybody on Facebook, when I took the selfie, posted references to Stand and Deliver and Blade Runner and Selena. I went with that prison scene, that jail scene in the first season of West Wing.
No Battlestar?
No. Other people, I know. So say we all. People are posting all that. I have this moment for myself with Edward James Olmos. Just every time I think of him, I get choked up, because on the first season of the West Wing, President Bartlet is nominating the very first Latino Supreme Court justice. And he has been pulled over while antiquing, I believe in Vermont, and has been arrested. And he refuses to leave the cell, even though he can get out, because he was arrested in front of his son and his wife. And the scene was so powerful. I mean, that's a long time ago. And I told him how much that meant to me, the kind of quiet rage. Yeah. So I geeked out, totally nerded out. I'm wearing my full on. I'm dressed as Trinity, latex duster.
I just like the way he kept the human race alive. That was my biggest.
Eric, like, you saying that. Yeah, I know. And I'm like, and what you've done for our peoples?
I wish I knew that about the press pass. I was there when Supergirl was there.
Yeah.
But her line was insane.
Press pass.
Yeah.
Well, you wait till they're done and you say, I'm from WGN Radio.
And I just wanted to meet you.
Give them your card.
I have questions. How is it being awesome? How does that feel?
See, so you're saying you would have nerded out.
Yeah,
to
real
Supergirl.
Hard. But I would have nerded the way that a guy does around a pretty girl. I probably would have said almost nothing.
I would.
Been like, you, cool.
I went to high-pitched dog whistle. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And it is kind of fun that that's the intro music for my mom. But we have on the line with us a good friend of the show. I wanted to reach out to Yenny Alvarez, who is one of my best friends and a successful actress, voiceover artist, and just all-around savvy businesswoman. She knows how to make things happen. But Yenny, you started out life in when you tell people where you're from originally, I'll bet there are a lot of questions. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Santa Clara, Villa Clara, Cuba.
Cuba. And,
yes.
And how strange has today been since President Obama is the very first president to visit in nearly half a century? Nearly a century.
I have a lot of mixed emotions watching that man on TV land in Cuban soil. And my husband, Mark DiCarlo, taped it for me. And I could not believe when I saw it with my own eyes. And the first thing that he said, Obama tweeted, which, by the way, to me, it felt like he was tweeting to me alone, because there's a saying that only Cubans have. It's que bola. It's like, hey, how you doing? Only Cubans say that. That man did not get there and say, hello, my Cuban people. No. That's inside information. Que bola. That's slang. That's of the street. That's of the people. So that right there, it made me emotional that he knows what he's doing. I believe in him. I trust him. We have complete hope for something to happen, anything to happen. The Cubans in the island, I have it from very good sources that, you know, my friends call their parents, their grandparents, their cousins in Cuba, and they all have hope. Not only because it's been 88 years since this happened, but also because this is the one of the extremely few things they get to hear from the outside world.
Well, that's what I've been listening to today. And I think that we sort of hear what's going on in Cuba has become sort of background noise to a lot of Americans. We're like, oh, yeah, I guess they have communism and they drive a lot of older cars because they don't get new ones and they just keep getting new parts. And I've heard something about the plumbing. And today I've been hearing a lot about just even movies and Wi-Fi. And, you know, and there are people who are saying that there are still political prisoners, that, you know, they're not answering questions, even though we have this whole contingent of, you know, diplomats going there, that there's still a lot being hidden. But you're saying this is hope for change.
Yeah, it can't be anything worse than what it's been the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be something better. It's the face of hope.
Right. Because what is the alternative right now? To not have the president visit Cuba?
Yeah, to stay the same way that things have stayed for years. And, you know, you got to take a look at it like it's a difference. The Cuban people are not the Cuban government.
Right.
Cuban people want change. Cuban people want better for their country and for their people. Hopefully this will trickle down to the Cuban people and not just the elite and the president and then the dictator. I don't want to call him the president.
Castro, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Something, you know, hopefully the visit of our president will trickle down not only to the elite and to the dictatorship in Cuba, but also to the people.
And how old were you when your family decided to leave Cuba?
My family and I escaped when I was 9 years old.
So you didn't just leave?
You can't just leave and say, hey, I want a ticket here. No, you have to ask for permission. You have to pay people off. You have to hope that you have enough money time and time again because they'll deny you. You can ask for a visa to a country. We were denied twice before the third one came around. We first asked to be it's whatever country is in good that year with Cuba. So at that time, the first time we asked was Spain. They said, nope, you're not allowed to go to Spain. Second one was Angola. They said no. And the third one was Panama. So when Panama came around, we packed like if we were going on vacation and we escaped the island.
Wow. And how old were you?
9.
You were 9 years old?
I was 9 years old and I remember everything.
Wow. And was this something, how did your parents tell you that you were leaving Cuba? And did they tell you why you had to leave?
I was very sheltered. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you can't really say those things out
right.
loud. In
right.
Cuba. You kind of have to hide them from, well, at least back then. You can't say anything against the government because then, you know, they'll send somebody to your house to find out what's going on. You can't have too many people at your house at one point without having permission from the president of the committee. Every block has a block captain that reports back to the city, that reports back to the government. So it's like a tightly wound little web.
Wow.
So that's how they know and that's how they keep people in line.
Right. I mean, and I guess you wouldn't want your children, how much can you share with your children and what you believe, no matter where you are in life?
Mm-hmm.
You can't share your honesty with them.
I knew last minute, and I almost messed it up because I was 9 years old, and I wanted to say goodbye to my friends in school, and I said it, and they put me in front of the classroom, and all the kids turned on me and started calling me names, and the teacher saved me and said, told the kids to shut up. They called me name. They called me gusano, which means worm.
Worm, okay.
Worm, and that was the name that they gave the people that left Cuba,
wow.
like a traitor. And all the kids started yelling that out, and the teacher came in and, you know, shut them off and then sent me home and said, listen, don't say that again. And then the next morning we flew out. So I almost messed it up for my parents.
Wow. Well, and here's the thing. We really can't imagine what it's like. And, you know, you think of places that don't have access to so many things, but usually it's a result of economics. It's maybe religion, you know, cultural battles. But when it's communism, it's a stranglehold that affects every aspect of a person's development. And I can't even imagine what it's like right now, seeing the hope of possibly the end of that.
Well, for me, I was pretty much indoctrinated. Like our salute to one another on the street when you're a kid and you're going to school and you're wearing your, you know, little uniforms. It was the response that Che Guevara, which, you know, the other horrendous killer, said. It was country. What is it? Patria o muerte. Venceremos. I have a friend of mine, Gustavo Rex, here, who's also a Cuban actor, and we've been talking about this all day. What was the Che Guevara thing? Patria o muerte?
Yeah.
Venceremos. Algo de eso.
Country, land, or death.
Oh.
We will triumph.
It was very similar to, I think it was Hitler or Mussolini who said, the state or death. And he Castro basically adopted that from them. As he adopted that term, worm, gusano, from Hitler, who used it against the Jews.
Ugh. And what does it feel like today to see? I mean, I know that you said it looks like hope. Is there a sense that, like, why couldn't we do this sooner? What took so long? Or are you taking everything as it comes?
Well, you have to understand that Fidel Castro is one of the richest men in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need the United States. Now that he's old and feeble, I don't know where he's putting all that money. Raul Castro may be a different story. I have no idea. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Mm-hmm.
We have the embargo with them, but the rest of the world doesn't. You know, they have everything there. They just keep it to themselves and they keep it to the elite. And now when this opens up, yeah, we're 90 miles away. And I'm hoping that, again, I hate to drive this down again, but I'm hoping that it does trickle down to the people. And seeing him land there, and the first thing he says is, que vola Cuba. That is insider information. That man knows. And he went over there to ask about the political prisoners. And Raul asked them, okay, so well, who are the political prisoners? Give me names. Well, you know what? We've given him names. There's lists all over the place. Then El Nuevo Herald tweeted out the list of 47 political prisoners in Cuba right now. And right before Obama landed, there was a riot, and the ladies in white, which are the mothers for political in Cuba, that their sons have been political prisoners or have died because of the dictatorship, they all lay down in the street and they were all arrested before Obama got there.
Wow.
So, you know what? Add those names to the list.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation.
I want to see his response.
Yeah, I agree, because and everyone who's curious, and actually we should all learn more, but there's a memorial, the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, which the numbers are astounding. An estimated 73,000 people have been killed since Fidel Castro seized power in 1959. And, you know, this is something that has to happen, and it's taken us a long time. There must be frustration still. I mean, in relief and yet still frustration, you know, but... If, like you said, the door is opening. Yenny, yeah. Do you have plans to go to Cuba?
Nope.
No.
I do not.
I know, because I've heard your husband say many times that he would like to go. And
I understand that. And it is a beautiful country. And old Havana, as dilapidated as it is, still has that nostalgia of, you know, old colonial buildings. I mean, to me, it looked like... Paris. In every corner, there was a little park, and you go into the old perfume house from the 1800s, and you still see, you know, the glass walls, and it's absolutely beautiful. And as a tourist, you can enjoy it. It's not a vacation for me, because I can't buy a bottle of perfume, because that money needs to go to my family. I can't buy an amazing work of art that I fell in love with, because that money needs to go for food.
Right. Right.
So I don't enjoy it as a traveler would.
Let me say something.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry. And let us know again. I'm sorry. I lost your name. What was?
Gustavo. Here's an interesting.
Hey, Gustavo. Yes.
That. So we don't really know why Obama did this. You know, we don't think, at least I don't think, he did it for the Cuban people. Some say cynically that he did it for his legacy. Others say he did it because American business was chomping at the bits to try to get in there and do business, understandably so. But one thing that we have to remember for American businesses going in there, and I would love for them to do it, because if you go to Cuba and see the conditions that it's in, you would just cry, is that Cuba is the only country along with North Korea that does not allow foreign investment companies to pay labor outright. So what happens is that Cuba, North Korea will do business with you. They will charge you an amount of money for the workers that you're going to use in those countries. And then the Cubans turn around and pay the workers like 10% of that amount in Cuban pesos, which is virtually usable, considering that there's a two-currency economy. And most of all of the consumer goods are sold in this, it's called a CUC, a convertible...
CUC.
Yeah, CUC. So it's very difficult for everyday Cubans to purchase, you know, things that you and I take for granted here. So that's something that is going to be at the forefront of difficulties when American companies start doing business and hiring labor in Cuba. And I hope that the AFL-CIO steps in and says, you know, absolutely not. There are four, like, I don't know what you call them, articles in the United Nations International Labor Agreement, blah, 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 that the Cuban government is violating in regards to its treatment of labor vis-a-vis, you know, its state capitalist agencies and, you know, foreign companies that do business there. And there are a lot of them from all over the world.
Well, and I can't even wrap my mind around what the impact will have if the AFL and the CIO are, if they're able to, you know, carry over any labor practices, considering how strong the efforts seem to be right now, state to state, to weaken unions. So, it'll be interesting to see what their abilities are on foreign land with businesses that want to invest there. We are talking to Yenny Alvarez and Gustavo.
Gustavo, right?
Hey, Gustavo. We're all talking about the president's trip to Havana, Cuba today, and the future of Cuba. So hold on the line. Can you hold on for another segment, Yenny and Gustavo?
Sure.
If you have any questions, if you want to join the conversation, listeners, please feel free to do so. You can text or call 312-981-7200. We have two experts on the line about Cuba. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I am joined on the line by Yenny Alvarez and Gustavo Rex. And we're talking about the president's trip to Havana, Cuba today. And, you know, we can't imagine, Yenny, what it's like to grow up. And you were very young when you left, but you have such strong memories of what it was like to grow up in Cuba. Here's something I learned when I visited you last, was even your name reflects the control that the government had on everyone's life in every aspect. Tell me a little bit about your name, Yenny.
Well, the name Yenny, Y-E-N-I, my mother was in love with this Italian singer, Jenny Luna. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to name me Jenny, but they said no because it was against the revolution to give me an American name.
Ugh. And that's beyond imagination that you could tell someone they can't name their child because it sounds too American. It threatens.
Yeah, well, there's a whole all these other Cubans, Yenny, Jackie, Johnny, my entire family is filled with Y names.
In the 60s, in the beginning of the revolution, in order to you know impose his power on the people, he outlawed anything that had to do with democracy, capitalism, Western style culture. So if you wore long hair or wore bell bottoms, you were arrested and they would cut your hair right there on the street.
Wow.
You couldn't listen to rock and roll music or you'd be arrested. And you couldn't even, and this is all, you know, people that I've met throughout the years who told me this. You couldn't even exhibit bourgeois attitudes like opening the door for someone. That was considered a bourgeois act.
Oh, really?
And it was not what Castro wanted. He and Che Guevara wanted to, you know, instill these egalitarian principles where everybody was equal, and so nobody could.
Like animal farm.
Yeah, like
all pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than others.
Yeah. So you couldn't do anything extra for someone else. Everybody, you know, had to open up their own door and stuff like that. Just crazy, crazy. And if you had someone who came to clean your house during the day, you know, your school friends would call you bourgeois and they'd call you counter-revolutionary. Because I had a friend who had the parents had a woman who cleaned the house and made the meals during the day.
Wow. Well, and here's the thing is that, you know, we were talking before the break about, you know, whether or not the president's arrival, and he's brought along a lot of whether it's diplomats or executives, you know, we've talked about how will there be an investment and will there be jobs created in Cuba? But you were saying before the break that, you know, what will that mean for, you know, the workers? If they're going to pay them through the government, it's going to be the same thing, just with more money coming in for those who are benefiting at the expense of citizens.
And that's what's been happening with all the European and Latin American and Canadian companies that have been investing in Cuba since Cuba opened its doors, basically, after the fall of the Soviet Union, like back in the early 90s was when it started. But the other thing that nobody knows is that Cuba is one of the greatest debtor nations in the world. They owe up to like $11 billion to international lending institutions and countries, and they don't pay. And what's been happening is that these countries, in order to continue investing in Cuba, they have to slash the monies that are owed to them by the Cuban government in half, like the Paris Club just slashed, you know, half of $1 billion or I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars. And the Russians did the same thing. Mexico did it. Chile did it. I don't know about the Chinese, but everyone, in order to get a foot in the door, has to absolve Cuba of the money that Cuba owes them. Let's see what happens with the American businesses.
Wow.
And you know, Americans don't pussyfoot around. You know, when if you don't pay what you're owed, you know, they come at you. And so it's going to be a real sore spot in the future if you know, because I up to this point, Cuba receives medical supplies and grains and chicken and all kinds of stuff from the U.S. sends these things to Cuba, but they have to pay up front in cash.
Yep. Well, it's
so now if they're allowed to have credit, that's where the problems are going to start. If the Cubans do the same thing that they're doing to the rest of the world by not paying these loans.
Well, hopefully it is a step in the right direction. And as Yeni mentioned earlier, it's a sign of hope. I have to run right now. Yeni, Gustavo, it's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you again and see what you know, what develops in the next few weeks.
Sure.
Looking forward to it.
More after this. Thank you. Of course. Bye. I love you. Talk to you later. More after this on 720 WGN. It's Monday night, which means it's Music Monday on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Live in the Allstate Showcase studio, we have Peasantry with us. Here they are with their song, Stewardess.
Sipping on a rum and coke in first class. When I see you pass, drifting through the aisle between like the breeze. Stop and greet me, please. Be my
You weren't done, were you?
Are you done?
I didn't know that he was going to start singing again.
Right. We've done that
No, go ahead.
We've cut people off before. That's why she's so hesitant.
We've got to tell musicians to like give me a nod and go, your turn.
You have to point it.
It's okay. Yeah, you got to. Like, okay, you do have to point
to
it. Thank you. Gentlemen, your names again?
So I'm Cyrus.
Cyrus.
And I'm Nick.
Hey, Nick and Cyrus. Wonderful music. By the way, I'm on your Facebook page. Already, Craig, I'm all in. Yeah. They have a vintage poster of the original Batgirl.
Well, plus, they're both obviously Smashing Pumpkins fans, right?
True. Yeah, this is true.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's why I was. And also, they have a Matrix meme.
Nice.
For what if I told you that on March 22nd, 2016, Peasantry will play at Shubas for the first time. You guys excited?
Indeed, that is tomorrow.
Yeah, we're really pumped.
Excellent.
Staying current with the memes.
Yes, you got to on top of the memes. I live my life in memes.
Me too.
And some days I get out of my car, I'm like, zero Fs given today.
I kind of feel like life is just a big meme.
It has become that. I think memes just celebrate like their 10th anniversary, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Wow, yeah.
I know. What? I don't know you can celebrate an anniversary as a meme. I don't know what that meme would look like.
What was the first meme?
Now we have to look. Googling with Craig Collins. What was the first meme? Do you find like you're in a mood and you have to, do you make all your own memes or do you sometimes search for one? Where's one about Monday's sock?
I mean, I'm going to have to go with the Garfield image on that one.
Is that what you
Yeah.
Do you generate your own?
But the Morpheus meme is a pre-existing meme.
Yes, what if I told you? Yes.
I just like the deja vu quote, mm-hmm. you know.
Exactly. Deja vu is usually a glitch in the Matrix. I like that a lot. Yeah. We're actually going to watch that for the first time with my 12-year-old this coming week.
Oh, nice.
Because we decided he's old. 12, do you think 12 is old enough to watch the Matrix?
I think that was about,
I would say so.
How old I was.
It's just
when
the
I watched
violence.
It.
So there's no nudity or anything. Like, you know, it's just the guns.
It's hard to make the decision as to what is appropriate at that age. I mean, my dad took me to see Basic Instinct, and that seemed wrong on some. Have you seen that movie?
No. I've seen a lot of clips of it.
Now you have to go see the whole thing.
Yeah, now I got
to
watch it.
Now you got to watch it. And imagine a young girl going to see it with her dad, and her dad panicking and trying to decide, do I walk out and waste my money, or do I hang in there? He didn't. He was a cheapskate. He would not walk out on that one. Yes, Craig, do you think you've got the first meme?
No, I can't. There's a lot of internet disagreement on what the first meme was, surprisingly enough.
Is there a theory?
To quantify.
What's the first theory that jumps out at you?
A lot of, no. Everyone says it's something different. That is the beauty of it.
It came out of nowhere, sort of thing.
And they probably both know the famous scene from Basic Instinct, by the way.
The
one with the leg crossed.
She's being interrogated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's in a white dress. She's being interrogated.
I like Nick trying to access his memory bank. He had like a faraway look. I like that. He was like, what? Wait, remind me again. She crossed. What happens when she...
Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. These are all things.
Yeah. What happens when she uncrosses her legs? She's not wearing any panties. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Music Monday. I'm pretty late. Here with their song, Wisdom Teeth. Is Peasantry.
One, two, three, four. I get excited about my wisdom teeth. Sometimes the wisdom gets a hold of me. I'll crawl down the hall and brew some tea to ease the pain. My gums shine bright pink as can be, like all the piggies on the Capitol tree. They squeal and squeal on their need of green, green feet. We'll roll smother up your nose. Mind his boss man, take care of me. Tell me what I should do with my teeth. No wonder you want to rid me of my pool land. You know the pool land.
Thanks to you, the Commander Chief. Thank you for displaying your team. We see you puppets on a stream. Pulling, you know they're pulling. I like my wisdom tea. I like my wisdom tea. Go on and poo poo poo. Go on and poo poo poo. Go on and poo poo poo. Go on and poo poo.
Wisdom Teeth by Peasantry. And Nick and Cyrus are live in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Awesome.
And one, there comes a moment when you hear someone playing a chord and you go, he's got to follow that note to the end of its sort of comment, wherever that's about to go. So I was like, oh, and he's going to get there. Can I ask, did either one of you write Wisdom Teeth?
Yeah, that was one of my songs.
That was one of your songs? And what inspired Wisdom Teeth?
So it was when I had my wisdom teeth.
I would imagine that's because I wasn't sure if it was that or it was one of those writing sessions where someone said, no, you can't write a song about anything. And you said, watch, I could write a song about wisdom teeth.
Yeah, it was there was a period where the wisdom teeth were kind of putting pressure on my eardrums.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
Just getting headaches and stuff. And
did you know it was the wisdom teeth?
I had a pretty good feeling it was.
Or you were hoping.
After a while, I would just thought, well, there's nothing really else it could be, hopefully.
Exactly. That's when you go, wisdom teeth or tumor. I'm going to hope. I'm really fingers crossed for wisdom teeth. Yeah. Nick, when he presented the song, you were like, no, seriously, wisdom teeth?
I was into it. I love, like, odd songs like that.
Absolutely.
You know, I think those ones are better than, like, the standard, like, I want to hold your hand type songs that have been done a million times.
Except for the one that actually is, I want to hold your hand.
The very first one. Is like,
except for the original. Pass, you know. Well, there does come that moment where people have said there's only 7 original ideas. Have you heard that theory? And everything else is just sort of an extrapolation from them.
Okay.
Is this a variation on them? Maybe it's just stand-up comics say that. Well, there's an idea that it's like man against man against nature, you know, those kinds of there's like just... Maybe it's 7 original sins. I might have this backwards.
Okay. Well, it seems like you always get ideas from other people's ideas, kind of a thing. So maybe there were just 7 things at the beginning.
And then there is that battle to go, wait, I thought of this, right? Just because I was influenced by somebody else, I have to make sure. But yeah, wisdom teeth ain't coming from anybody else. Cyrus, I'm seeing that completely. And what was the, how did you solve your wisdom tooth problem?
So I did eventually get them out. Mm-hmm. I think about a year later.
A year you suffered with wisdom?
How long
did it take to write that song?
That was pretty quick. It was a couple of days. We've been playing that one for a few years now. But and ironically, I had an amazing experience. No pain, healed really quickly. I went back home.
That's rarely really the description of having your wisdom teeth pulled.
Yeah, it was odd. It was almost like the song helped.
Right? Like somehow it was cathartic for you. Yeah. Were you completely out or were you conscious? Because I only had locals done for mine. I was awake.
I was completely out and they did all 4 at the same time. Mm-hmm. So just got it all done.
Is your hope and dream that when you're going to do a radio interview that we could talk about your wisdom teeth? It's really on you, by the way, for writing the song.
Yeah, I think that was part of it.
It was part of it. Yeah. I can't wait to talk about this on the radio so everyone can hear about it. I love it. I've told my wisdom tooth story. There's something about it. You feel like you've survived something, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I had my doctor give me one of my teeth back so I could have that.
With the whole root and everything?
Yeah, well, apparently, because I was out too for mine, and apparently they went too hard on my mouth, so all the other teeth were just shattered.
What?
And he was like, this is the one that you can keep.
Oh, you mean the other wisdom teeth were shattered?
Yeah.
I was going to say they shattered the ones next to it. That's a bad job right there. The other 3 wisdom teeth were shattered.
I
in the
wanted
process.
To get all 4 so I could do something.
What, like, I see you say, like, what do you want, like, a necklace? What do you want to do?
Necklace, earrings, and some kind of a ring, maybe.
And with the solitary wisdom tooth that survived, what did you end up doing with it?
I think I just lost it. I didn't follow through.
Like, well, it's just one. How boring is that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's barely a trophy.
We're wearing it under his shirt right now.
Is he really? He doesn't want to. Doesn't want to. He's had it gold. He had it dipped. Now, Cyrus, where are you from originally?
I grew up in North Carolina, a small town called Wilmington, North Carolina.
It's not that small. People are familiar with Wilmington.
Yeah. Small city.
Yeah. Well, it's
compared to here, it feels small.
What was it like when you moved here?
It was a huge change. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd only been to Chicago a couple times. I moved here for college.
Where'd you go to school?
Went to Loyola University. We both, actually, our band met there.
Okay.
In college, and that's kind of how we all got started.
Oh, it's a great university.
Yeah.
Brought me here, and I've been here since. So really like it.
Just couldn't afford the trip back home. Yeah. I hope that you stay because you love the city. It's a great place to live.
I do, yeah.
And create music, I'd imagine. And Nick, where are you from originally?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've performed there, so I do stand up comedy, so I've been
nice.
To Columbus.
Where
great play? Audiences at the Funny Bone in that mall right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At Easton?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I spent a lot of time at Easton in high school.
It's an interesting mall because it seems to be a cross collection of people from different economic backgrounds. Is that a good evaluation?
It's like the biggest mall in that whole area. So like I've heard people from West Virginia like come up and go to Easton, you know, just and spend a day there shopping.
For supplies. we're going to Easton. Yeah. Oh, we're sorry, West Virginia. We don't mean to say like, oh, that's cute, but that's kind of cute. Let me take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and it's Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and we are pleased to welcome Peasantry here there with their song Unsatisfied.
Somebody I'm not.
Seriously, Cyrus, you look like you're going to keep singing. That's Unsatisfied by Peasantry. They're playing tonight. That's Tuesday night at Lincoln Hall at Shuba's. They're performing with the Hanging Gardens and the Voluptuals. The show is at 9 o'clock. It's a 21 and over show, but it is free. And, you know, visit the go to LH-ST for the more information.com, by the way. That's for Shuba's. Just Google Shuba's. You know where it is. You know where it is, Steve Dale, don't you?
I do, actually. It's at Southport and Belmont.
Great music there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
If you're playing Shuba's, I mean, so they said, we're playing Shuba's. And I said, wow. Because when you made Shuba's, you're pretty good.
Yeah, this is their first time performing there. Do you feel good about that? You.
Yeah, we're pretty excited.
Yay.
Yeah.
Congratulations. There. And you have a bigger band. I know that you've pared down for us, and we appreciate that.
Can they talk a little bit about... Can they talk a little bit about the Shuba show? It's actually called the 100% Off Local Bands Show. It's a series of concerts that they'll be putting on for the next few months. And so can they talk a little bit about what that's all about and how it kind of works?
Do you guys want to tell us about that?
It's pretty simple. It's they just, in order to promote the local scene, I guess they're, instead of always pulling touring bands, they kind of just put on shows that are all local bands, three or four bands, and they bring in and they just make it free, because usually shows at Shuba's are $10 or more for admission. So that way they get more people in. You can get kind of random people from the neighborhood that wander in and check out your tunes and stuff.
What's great about Lincoln Hall, too, is that it has a sort of like town hall meeting sort of feel to it. You've got like kind of like pews on the side, and there's a bar in the back. I don't know how many town hall meetings have a bar in the back.
That's Shuba's specifically. Lincoln Hall is another venue.
Oh, is it really?
Shuba's is the venue.
Where have I been?
You've been to Shuba's. Lincoln Hall is a different spot.
Well, how do you know if she's been to Lincoln Hall? Maybe she's been there, too.
Well, she was describing Shuba's.
I was describing Shuba's. Yeah, well, tell me what Lincoln Hall's like then, Craig.
Lincoln Hall's a much bigger concert venue.
Oh.
It's a much bigger space. We actually saw a band perform there as well. I think it was the Fox and the Hounds, or there was a couple bands that we went that played there specifically, too.
It's close by.
It's like they blend together for me with the bands.
Well, both places are near one another. They're both in Lakeview.
Sure.
Well, and so, guys, how did you kind of get connected with Shuba's for this concert? Did they reach out to you? How does that kind of work? How did you get placed in the show?
Yeah, they pretty much just kind of sent us an email and had hit us up. I'm not totally sure where
they hit you up.
Yeah, see, that's
pretty much
that's
it.
A great thing. Like, that's what every performer wants. Like, no, they found me.
Pretty
like,
I think we had, you know, we might have like reached out to them a while back, and then eventually they,
Hit us up. We put ourselves on their radar, I guess.
Yeah.
They probably have a huge list of bands that they're like, oh, maybe this would work.
You made it through all the white noise.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Not that the other bands are white noise. I'm just saying. It sounds like a lot of clutter when you've got a lot of bands that are looking for stage time.
There's a lot of bands in Chicago.
Yeah.
I've heard there's a couple here and there.
And they've all appeared on this show.
Yeah, I think
they all want to play WGN Radio and Shuba's.
Oh, there you go. Or Lincoln Hall, apparently. Yeah. Steve Dale, have you ever played an instrument? I see you as a guitar player. Are you?
I'd like to. My wife picks on me sometimes, but that doesn't count.
Oh,
really.
I see what you did there.
No, I am. That's as close as I come.
I play zero instruments.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I can't. I can't.
I could do probably a tambourine.
You guys don't sing?
No.
Singing?
We actually have a song. We've got to find the audio for that. It's a song called Patty Don't Sing. It's both a request and a fact.
I bet you could play the tambourine.
I don't know. What are you accusing me of?
Well, no. Or the maracas or something. Anybody can do that. You can shake the...
I stop right there. I'll shake what I want to shake, sir. Steve,
I'm just being musical.
Are you guys... do you have any pets at home?
I do not, no.
Well, my roommate has a dog.
You sound like you're trying to distance yourself and disavow yourself of this animal.
It's great because I get to be kind of like his fun uncle, whereas my roommate actually has responsibility for him.
So you don't walk or feed the pooch?
I walk him, but when I want to, you know?
It's dog's on my schedule.
Yeah.
Do you have a yard where you just open the door and let the dog have his run?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty nice. I lived in Pilsen, and we have a nice little yard down there for him to run around.
All right.
Nice.
And are you staying on top of the
Yeah.
See what I'm doing? I'm combining my segments right now, Steve Dale.
I'm impressed.
I'll explain why in a moment. Have you stayed on, especially in the
Sometimes
winter?
Sometimes we accidentally stay on top of it. See what...
Yeah. You're like, oh, he's got to get to a sidewalk and a stick as fast as possible. Clean that all out. Well, the city of Chicago is moving in a direction that I think I was a little surprised by. I think a lot of people are surprised. They want to pass an ordinance, Steve Dale, that if you're not cleaning up the excrement in your own yard, that you can be held responsible for a $500 fine.
Yes, and it's the most ridiculous thing in the world for a lot of reasons. First of all, they maintain the whole purpose of this, they say, is to decrease the rat population. Well, I can tell you exactly what to do to decrease the rat population. And as Alderman Nateris, he was on my show once many years ago, and it's the only guest I had ever that I don't believe needed a microphone.
Oh.
I mean, really. He's
That's impressive.
He would say... And, you know, he would bellow everything out. And he talked about how, very famously, he talked about how dog poop is foie gras, is the way he put it to city rats. Well, that's about what it is.
Does he know what foie gras is?
I doubt it.
Okay.
City rats...
Do I? That's probably a better question for everybody.
Goose liver. But city rats will eat anything. Mm. Anything. And they prefer a lot of things, most things, to dog poop. So they'll eat it. But it's not
as a last resort.
You know what the city ought to do? They ought to ban us from feeding birds. No bird seed in the city because by the same way of thinking, rats much prefer bird seed to dog poop. Oh, and by the way, all the trees with berries.
He's going to say dog poop a lot during the segment, Craig, isn't he? Just a lot.
the trees with berries in the city, we have to cut them all down. Because that's actually number one if
you know,
you're a rat.
We are so grateful. The city cut down our tree. We had a ginkgo biloba tree in front of our house. The squirrels loved that tree.
Didn't you feel younger or more intelligent?
You know, it's not the meaty part of the berry. It's the seed. But the squirrels in the neighborhood we'd see them out there. They have excellent memory. They know exactly where they hit their nuts.
Oh, sure. Yes. I've said that about squirrels many times.
Yes.
And the rats remember, too. I mean, they're very intelligent animals. But what they like is everything and anything but
everything in the garbage. I mean, like,
yes. So let's have metal lids on the cans rather than plastic lids, which they can chew
through.
Oh,
they can chew through.
Yeah, and they do. You know, I mean, there are so many things we can do.
See, you know what happens when you have a metal lid, though? You get Oscar the Grouch all over the place. More after this on 720 WGN.
And that's why Patty don't sing. Not even when her phone starts to ring. No, Patty won't sing. Because the noise that her mouth makes your ears bleed. Get thang. She won't hum. She won't whistle. She won't dance around and sing.
I'll dance.
No, Patty won't sing. And that's just the thing that you want to hear her do on the radio. Don't you, Chicago?
It's Mark DiCarlo.
I love
with,
that song.
An improvised song that he made right here on the spot for me. He said, I want to improvise a blues song with you. And I go, I don't sing. And then he made that the song. So that was that.
Appropriate song, apparently.
I
you weren't even singing along in the studio. I was disappointed.
I talk sang in the beginning of that.
So in the car when you're alone, you don't sing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't sing in there?
Yeah, I sing in the car.
Yeah, we all sing there.
I sing once in a while in front of this microphone, and then we get texts, and I go, yeah, see, that's
you
why.
Sing in the shower?
You know what? I think of I get creative ideas in the shower more than I sing. Yeah, I don't really sing.
I do that in the bathroom too, but not in the shower.
In the shower? Oh, yeah. Okay.
A little more than the guest really wanted to know.
You got thinking time. Thinking time happens.
I think of titles for things that I'm working on. I like to come up with my titles. There's a script I wrote called Mulligan, and I loved it because it has both the golf sort of interpretation, and it's a great Irish name, and it just seemed perfect for the project I was working on. So,
excellent.
Anyway, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you was about dog poop.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
People stop me on the street, and they ask me about dog poop. They do.
Because everyone saw this piece today. I think a lot of people saw that the city wants to pass this ordinance. And you don't think this is a very good idea a move in the right direction.
It's not. So if you want to do something about rats, I'm all for that. I mean, rats are not healthy for any of us. They spread disease. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this to me is insulting to Chicago police. I think Chicago police have better things to do other than to look in people's backyards. So this isn't
This is going to be more about snitching. Don't you think it's going to be neighbors calling on each other?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So it's neighbors who don't get it. We should explain what this is. So right now there is an ordinance in Chicago. It's been in effect for decades now where people should pick up in public places, and they should, after their dog, or they can be fined.
Mm-hmm. Get your baggie and get behind your dog.
Total agreement with that. Mm-hmm. This is in backyards and private backyards. So if I don't pick up, and that's part of the problem with the ordinance, too. From a practical level, at what point? So if the police come because I didn't pick up, is that 5 minutes? Is that 5 days?
Right. Is it volume? What's, is it time? Right. Exactly.
Exactly. It's. I mean, you can't. It's
and what if you're saving it? Maybe you have some plan for it. Maybe you have a manure plan.
Who knows? You know. So it's absolutely ridiculous with all the police have to do, I think, in Chicago, to have Chicago's finest do this job, or animal control officers who are, I mean, we are so understaffed in that area. I mean, it is the most ridiculous thing. And the contention is that rats love dog poop. And as I described earlier, that is simply not true.
I need that on a shirt. Craig, can you get that for me? Rats love dog
but
poop.
But they don't. That's got to go on the back of the shirt then, because they really don't. They like a lot of things better. So what do we do about the rats? And actually, there's a shelter in Chicago, Treehouse Humane Society, that helps to trap, neuter, and return community or feral cats that are out there. And they thought a couple of years ago, why don't we work with the city where there are too many rats and make sure we have cat colonies? They're spayed or neutered. They're not reproducing anymore.
Okay.
And put them where the relocate the real estate and put them where the rats are. And they do. By request of aldermen, even.
And they live outdoors? They're outdoor cats?
These are feral cats. They're outdoor.
They're never
going
to be domesticated. And this is the alternative to housing them and to destroying them.
Right. And they're outside anyway. So instead of being outside on that street, they're then moved a few blocks away to that street where there's a rat problem, or that large empty lot, or wherever it is where there's a rat problem. And you know what? The rats put up a for sale sign. They move out. It works.
The rat real estate goes down.
It does.
And what is the? Is there resistance to incorporating this in more neighborhoods? Or
from the rats? Yes, but no, but from no. I think that people just don't know about it. Maybe I don't know. I would think not all the aldermen know about it.
Well, why would they be going forward with fining people?
It's revenue. I can't answer that because it's really so little revenue. I can't answer that question. I mean, there's no common sense to this. Clearly, the city did not talk to any rat experts. And I'm not a rat expert.
312-981-7200. Do we have any rat experts in our audience? And what do you think? Do you think that we should be fining our neighbors? Because it is going to come down to this, Steve Dale. It is going to be people snitching on their... I saw a friend of mine post in the suburbs. She was saying that the police rang her bell. Her neighborhood said that she was not cleaning up. Apparently, in some suburbs, this is a violation to not clean up on your own property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing I see. Because I call the cops on my neighbors sometimes.
Do you really?
Fortunately, on one side, I actually have a cop that lives there.
But, so he just goes over.
Yeah,
knocks on their door.
911 is like, "Hi, Patty, what's up?" Whenever I call,
that's not good.
Well, usually I call for like if there was a situation in the property next to us where there was a lot of domestic violence, and I wanted to make sure that everyone was okay.
But well, part of the problem, as you and I have talked about, I mean, part of the problem there is that people don't report it.
All right.
So good for you for stepping up. I mean,
but I ain't calling about dog poop. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, right. I mean, I think police have better things to do, and I think it's even insulting. Especially with the environment in Chicago that we have now with the Chicago police. I cannot believe our mayor, who I respect, and I'll talk about in a little bit about his no-kill initiative and the alderman. That I respect. I think that's a great thing. The idea, though, about dog poop, absolutely
cats
not.
Cats to work. I'm all with the cats to work, the feral cats.
Well, you know what? We ought to put our cats to work.
Absolutely.
We don't want the unemployment rate to be in double digits for cats. And this is really a good program.
He should get a noogie every time he makes a joke like that. I think a noogie for Steve Dale. We don't want them underemployed.
You want to have a Steve Dale noogie counter?
I think we should. Yes, can we just have a sound effect for
him?
I just gave him a noogie.
And then at the end of the show, you give him all the noogies he deserves.
I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not.
No, it's fine.
You know what a noogie is, don't you? It's like one of those. It's kind of like you're adorable.
Yeah. You only sort of know what it is. That's another noogie. Steve Dale's second noogie. We're up to two.
We can also have texters let us know when Steve Dale gets a noogie.
But I mean, seriously, when I posted about the rats on Facebook, I mean, I was inundated with people who said, I can't believe the city is doing this. I mean, with all the issues right now that the city of Chicago has, if it made sense, it would be something else. So if the city said every garbage can out there is going to have a metal lid,
yeah,
that's another story.
I don't know. But I mean, the problem with that, so like an attached metal lid to the garbage can, right? Because we know that it doesn't work the other way. It's, you end up losing lids. That's
well,
why
no,
we get
they, right.
That's why they were sort of, you know, phased out.
Right, but there are lids that I've seen them.
They're flip lids.
Yeah, and they're metal, and the rats cannot chew through those. The plastic lids they do chew through.
I bet you it's expensive.
Well, I'm not saying that cities should be doing this. I'm saying if the city is serious about getting rid of rats, there are other things they can do that would actually help manage the problem. Also, education for people.
He's pointing at me now. Does he get a noogie for pointing his way, wagging his finger at me?
Judges say one noogie. That's at the three.
Just teasing.
No noogies counting anymore.
Study say yes.
I forgot what I was saying.
I know that was really my fault. I felt okay. Like I shouldn't have done that to you.
No,
it was
okay.
About the steel lidded garbage cans and how much better that is to prevent the overpopulation of rats.
It is, and I was talking about public education. That's where I was going. So
yes.
If we just told people that when we see these rat holes, fill them up. People have wood piles.
Rat holes like in
their lawn,
okay.
In their backyard. I mean, those holes are, if you live in the city, probably not gophers.
Okay.
You know, they're probably rat holes. So fill them in and keep doing that because they'll keep digging them out. But at some point, they'll say, you know what? I don't want to live here. It's too tiring. I mean, really, that's what happens.
And also try to have your report any damaged garbage cans that now have holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the rats will keep getting in and feeding off of your garbage can and feel
yes.
welcome.
And don't put the garbage next to the can. Put it in the can. I mean, just some common sense things.
Who's putting it next to the
can? Because they fill up.
Oh,
you
I
know,
see.
A lot of people, they fill up. So stuff it down.
Go to one of your neighbors and use one of their garbage cans.
I mean,
I'm
rats.
Kidding. I'm not encouraging that. There's a lot of proprietary real estate when it comes to garbage cans.
I mean, rats will even eat, you know, the recycles that we leave out in the blue bags. They'll even
sure.
newspaper and cardboard. I mean, they eat anything. So to say we're going to eliminate. So if tomorrow this worked and we could eliminate every piece of dog poop in Chicago, private property or public property, and it poof disappeared. I know a noogie is coming for this. but it just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It would not impact the rat population at all.
Okay,
this
so
is stupid.
These are the alternatives. We eliminate defeeding birds. I like that because they like the bird seed.
No, I'm not saying we should do that.
You
I wanna,
did?
No, but I'm saying, well.
It's another choice would be that.
Right, but I don't want to stop feeding birds. I'm just saying this makes no sense.
Okay, we have to carry over after 1 o'clock with Steve Dale. But what? Okay, let's live there for a second with feeding birds. Are they not able to find their own stuff?
Oh, and this winter was really a nice winter.
Yeah.
So it is helpful to the birds to feed them. It truly is, and particularly for certain kinds of birds, for certain migrating birds.
Okay.
As they come through,
a nice feeding spot.
Yeah, it's really a very nice thing.
I've never told you this. My mom put up a feeder, and then she realized that the neighbor's cat was just using that as his own feeding trough because the birds were being lured to the feeder, and then the cat would pounce.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I know. So I'd rather have him chase the rats away.
She was very get away, get away from the birds. She was very upset.
I would not want to be on the other end of your mom being mad.
She was. And poor Fat. Fat's the name of the cat that lives next door.
Fat.
Fat. Phat.
Oh, okay.
Like that cat's fat.
Cool cat.
Very cool cat. What kind of cat you, Esmeralda, you have a lovely house cat, don't you?
She is a fat, fatty, fat, fat.
Oh.
Her name is Smokey.
Aww,
yeah, no, she's super.
Smokey.
I just took her to the vet, and the vet's like, she needs to lose weight. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
How can you help a cat lose weight?
The same way you do with people. Diet, exercise.
What if they don't want to exercise?
Well, they will. So take one of those fishing pole type toys with
yes.
feathers or fabric or a laser light.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, understand that you don't have an Olympic athlete here, so you're not going to have a cat bouncing all over the room at first. But even if you can get the cat to move a little bit, the other thing you can do is put food in different places around the house. Don't add to the total food, but put some kibble in different places. You have obviously a cat that's food motivated, so your cat will then go to those places, put them up high, put it over there, put it over there, put it over there. And as your cat goes over there and over there, over there, I call it like speed bumps that your cat is going over, you know, to get to the food. So that is all ways to burn the calorie. Your cat is sitting on the sofa with you.
Yeah.
Get up from the sofa the old-fashioned way and change the channel yourself. And your cat will have to get up too.
Although she is older.
Okay.
She's about 11. She used to love chasing the laser light. And now she just kind of stares at it.
Well, because
she's
it's
like, I'll just stare. I'll just watch you play.
Well, if we're literally obese here, you know, we have to go slow. Go slow. Go slow. It will work.
The fishing pole with a feather on it. Yes.
Works real quick well. Before the news. Do you want to know how many noogies we're at?
From the texters, not us.
Count how many noogies are we at?
The number of the day is 4.
Sounds like we're at 4 noogies right now.
Let's see how many more Steve Dale can
rack
up.
Are you going to videotape this when she gives me the noogies?
The noogies. Every Sunday morning, 6:30 to 7, you can listen to Steve Dale. You can go to his website also, which is Steve Dale Pet World.
Or stevedale.tv. It's my new blog.
Stevedale.tv.
I'm very excited about that.
And as you should be.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with our pet expert, our very own. We get to keep you. Nobody else gets to have you. Okay, fine. I know you travel around the world giving keynote addresses and sharing your expertise everywhere you go.
You know what? I prefer the show we were doing off the air.
No. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to
talk to you. You're amazing.
You are. I just keep showing up for the work the way you do. That's what we do.
Yeah,
just keep showing up.
Yeah, but you're... You're very cool and talented.
You're very nice, and so are you.
Well,
we're doing a love fest. Craig, you're also very talented.
Who?
And amazing. Craig.
Is there a guy in there?
Also, Esmeralda is awesome.
I didn't. The guy counting the noogies.
He's gonna get another noogie for that. Five noogies.
And Rob Marcher, also amazing. And Bob Ferguson, who, by the way, was our engineer tonight. It is our engineer tonight, making sure that all the music sounds amazing. Peasantry is gonna be at Shuba's. We have been talking about dog poop, yay, and helping Esmeralda's cat Smokey maybe shed a few pounds. And I really highly recommend that fishing pole with the feathers on it. I mean,
she has those.
And she doesn't like it.
She just stares at them now.
Start slow. So the fishing pole with the feathers is that rat, you know? So you put it like halfway behind a sofa and your cat can kind of see it, kind of can't, and then entice the cat. Cats have prey drive. They're born with it.
Right.
And what happens with these overweight and particularly obese cats, they're just not able to activate that prey drive. They want to, we think. They can't physically do it. So start really slow. I promise. Next time I'm on, you'll tell me, your cat's still not going to be running around the house back and forth. It's no fountain of youth, but it will make a difference. And little things every day. So if you've had, and I'm sure you've had, exercise experts on the show, and they talk about, well, just take the stairs sometimes. Well, you're an exercise expert
take
yourself.
Take the stairs? Look at Esmeralda. She's like, please don't tell Patty to take the stairs. She won't leave the stairwell. She's always trying to get people
in. And how many flights do you go up and down?
I did 5 buildings. What did I? So that was 225 buildings. 25
floors. Yeah, I forgot who I was talking to here. But you get the idea. It's all
Craig.
About.
So, Craig's like, they
I did 4 towers. I did 4 flights.
I snuck in and did 5.
It's all about movement.
I did not want to do a 5th flight. Sorry. Even if you had put treats up at the top.
Oh,
see? See, but that's what you should do, right?
Yeah.
Treats at the top.
I wanted pizza.
Yeah, Joseph Giannini did not come through on our pizzas.
Right. But with a bigger cat, you want to entice it with food. Right.
Tuna.
Yeah,
right.
But as
she runs to the food bowl.
That's what I said, and you're right, you know.
So, or if she sees me walking towards
her. Yeah, Steve was saying to make food a challenge. Put it on one side, then the other side, then
I already have to. I have to put like a soft toy in her bowl because she will wharf it down. No, I'm not joking. She will wharf down the food.
So a thing to do about that is to take some of the food balls or food puzzles that are available at any pet store. You know, they're little balls that have a hole in it. Teach your cat how to roll it around and get the food out of there that way. Only a piece or two of kibble, if we're feeding dry food, can come out at a time so the cat cannot scarf it down.
No, she's learned. It's a brain. It's like a squeezy stress toy. And she's actually, I've seen her, she sticks her paw in the bowl now to push some out to eat them.
Yeah, well.
Because her snout doesn't fit the whole way.
Right. But what I'm saying is put the food in some of these toys that are made for that.
Like a Kong, almost.
Yeah, they're kind of like that for cats.
Can you dip the feathers in tuna juice?
No, don't do that.
Okay.
Because then we'll have cats eating the feathers. And
oh, that's right. That's not good for them.
Yeah, and there'd be tuna juice in my house.
You don't like tuna juice?
And there's that.
Not really.
Oh,
I mean tuna juice all over the house.
Is tuna okay for dogs?
Yeah.
Okay,
Just a little, you know, a little bit once goes a long way. But once in a while, totally. Yeah, yeah.
And they have tuna breath.
Have you seen that new cat? It's a cat thing. What's that thing called that people run on?
Treadmill?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a cat treadmill. Have you seen that, Steve?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think of that?
I wouldn't do that with your cat right away.
No, of course. But I'm just like, is it? Do cats actually use it? Wait, is it a popular thing?
Yes.
Do they trap the cat on the treadmill? How do you
no.
keep it?
No. So Google that and go to YouTube, everyone, and you'll see what we're talking about here. It's a treadmill, and cats sometimes will go on it. You know, the thing about cats is that if they don't want to do it, they're not going to
do it.
A dog you can entice or train to do something like that. To some extent, you can a cat. But at the end of the day, if the cat doesn't want to do it, the cat doesn't want to do it. And the only issue I have with treadmills for pets is that someone ought to be there to supervise.
To make sure that... Well, that should go without saying.
Well, right.
Yeah, I don't believe that cat should. Treadmill would work. I just don't think cats are like, they'd be like, no.
Well, some of them, you'll be surprised. Some of them are voluntarily saying, I want to work out. So they do.
Well, let me ask you this. As we're talking about cats walking, we saw a gentleman out on Michigan Avenue one day walking his cat.
Oh.
No one believes that you can actually civilize a cat enough. Now they're not civilized, but.
Watch it.
Well, they
don't insult cats.
No, I had two cats, but once they get outside and they're hit with all the different sights and smells, they want to go. I don't see them as being. I mean, and they get down to the ground, and
it depends on the cat. So, if the cat has been brought up that way, mm-hmm. and if the cat is of some genetic social demeanor, we actually had a cat named Ricky. So I saw Dan Segrew, the producer
for Nick D Show,
Who's coming on in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I saw.
Depending on how many noogies you get. If we go into over noogie time, I don't know if we're at the Nick D's show.
I know. Then we've got a problem. So I saw Dan in the parking lot, and he reminded me. He was my producer. That's how we started here. And he cat-sit for us once. He stayed at our house and watched Ricky the cat.
I love the idea of Dan Segrew. Dan Segrew cat-sitting. How many cats? Just the one?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just want to see Dan Segrew covered in cats.
Dan Segrew, come downstairs right now. Bring a bunch of cats.
Cats with you.
And Ricky would happily go mm-hmm. outside on a leash and harness and play the piano. Really, he did that.
Wait, I'm sorry. Words are coming out of your face. He played the piano?
Dan
or the cat?
The cat.
Okay. Just checking.
You've not had cats.
I thought maybe
Dan
Segrew was playing the piano for the cat.
No. The cat played for Dan.
Okay, so what kind of music did Ricky play for?
Improvisational jazz.
Okay, fair enough.
Craig, and you don't believe that cats can...
Use the toilet.
Can use toilets or walk.
I didn't say...
This one can play a piano.
I'm really confused with how you train a cat to use the toilet. I'm really confused with that process.
There's a contraption that people buy.
Okay.
And it goes completely over the toilet, and there's a little hole there in the center of it.
Okay.
And the cat learns to stand on it and do its business right there. Mm-hmm. And what people do is they cut away at it over time, so it gets wider and wider. And soon,
as the cat's confidence builds about hovering precariously over mm-hmm. a body of water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily a fan of it, but the number one reason why cats die in America is missing the litter box.
What?
It's true.
That doesn't make logical sense.
They miss the litter box and die?
Well,
They long for it, or they miss it? They don't have good aim.
Accidents in the house.
Okay.
And as a result of those accidents, the human-animal bond fractures. The cat's given up to a shelter. And that happens. It's the number one reason why cats land at shelters. So,
and then once they're in the shelter, you're saying that a lot of shelters put them down.
Yes, many cats just don't make it out. I mean, we're doing better, and I can talk about the whole no-kill thing that Chicago wants to do, which ties into that.
I surrendered my entire security deposit because I had cats that I was just like, we had wall-to-wall carpeting.
Mm.
Yeah. You can't get rid of that smell. You can use all those products you want, especially if you have padding and all. Yeah. You have to rip that out down, and then the wood. And my husband Steve is going to listen to this podcast and go, "Oh, please don't remind me of those days." I refuse to give those cats up. Steve had to go every month for shots because he was allergic. My cagney and my shoeless.
Real quick, are there any cats that are good for allergies? Can you say that real quick before we get to the no kill?
Yeah. So there's no hypoallergenic cat. I mean that
does not exist.
Kind of not. They were bred at one time. So when we're allergic to cats, different answer for dogs, but when we're allergic to cats, we're actually allergic to a protein in their saliva, the
So it's not the fur?
No.
Oh.
It's the FELD1 protein. It's been identified. That's the protein. And what cats do is they groom themselves. So it gets on their fur. It's a very sticky protein, and it sticks to here and there and over there in the house. On an airplane, for example, though, it would not be a problem because the cat hasn't been on the airplane long enough and the cat hasn't been all over the airplane, so that sticky dander doesn't get the opportunity to really
It's not being
that.
Circulated
right,
through the,
right,
the vents.
Right.
Okay.
However, a cat that lives in a house every day, that's what Steve was allergic to and that's what people who are allergic to cats are allergic to. So what they've been able to do is breed cats who don't have this protein. Those cats are way expensive. I don't even know if they're still available, but they were for a time. But it didn't go over really big because a lot of the proponents of animal welfare said, these cats are like, I'm making up this number now, I don't remember exactly, but they're like $6,000 or something, and you can get a cat at an animal shelter for less than $60, you
right.
know? So, and save a life, you know, at the same time. Now, about allergies, it has been suggested that a breed called the Siberian will work for some people some of the time, even though they're a long-haired cat. Because remember, it's all about that protein.
Right.
The Devon Rex cat, which is actually a breed that I have, a Cornish Rex cat may work as well.
How about Russian Blues? Is that the one you were looking at,
no.
a Russian Blue?
They're
no.
beautiful, but
yeah.
no.
Gorgeous.
No.
Okay, no.
No.
All right, good talk.
No. But it's not any worse. And allergies are very complicated. So it's depends on what else that person or people are allergic to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cumulative. So the cat may put them over the top or not. Some people actually seem to develop a resistance to the cat they live with,
right.
but are allergic to other cats, even of the same breed or mix.
Interesting.
So it's a complicated thing, and it's very individual.
Right. And then, well, we're going to talk about the move toward no-kill.
And I also want to finish up about
yes.
litter boxes really fast.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to go really fast. Go ahead.
I could talk slower?
Yeah, whatever
okay.
you want to do.
Oh, all righty.
It's your segment.
No, well, it's your show.
Litter boxes. So the number one killer of cats is missing the litter box because it fractures the owner-pet
Yeah, at some point in time, people sometimes say, I can't take it anymore.
Right.
I mean, I can't clean up after this cat anymore. So why do cats think outside the litter box?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the major problems is we just sometimes don't have enough litter boxes for the number of cats we have in the house.
What? What?
What? It's like you said that at the beginning of the show.
I did say that. I did. I said that, yes. Well, and I was explaining the cats, that's their way of self-preservation, is because in the wild, they have to cover up their excrement to hide where they are. They don't want their predators to come after them.
Totally correct. So, that's one reason. The other reason is if they have, it's all about resources. And if you have three cats in the house,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people are there in your house?
There's four.
And if you share the toilet all the time and no one ever flushed?
Oh, go.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what happens, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, you can't scoop often enough if you have four cats, for
right.
example. So
But if you have four, it spreads it out.
The magic number, I'm giving you the secret formula now. The magic number for the number of litter boxes for the
per
number
cat.
Of cat per cat is 1.5 boxes per cat.
Yeah, I could see that. I should have had three litter boxes. That makes sense to me.
So if you have two cats, you need three boxes,
mm-hmm.
right? It's N plus one.
Yes.
So if you have five cats, six boxes.
Did he just do algebra on my show? Could you mark that down as the first time we've had an N plus one
is
equals,
that a noogie
equals,
too?
That's a noogie.
That's a noogie.
I was afraid of that.
You don't suggest it. Otherwise, you might have slid past that
I
one.
Just like the way he says that. That's all. It's like the game show host guy. Do
mm-hmm.
that again.
It's another noogie. Here we go.
That's a noogie.
You see?
Steve Dale, you're up to six noogies.
And you know, it's trial and error when it comes to the cat litter brand that works for you. Do you remember years ago I was telling the audience about these beads? Do you remember the beads
yeah,
that came
out? Yeah, they still
out?
Have them.
When they get out of the box, they just roll around.
They
just,
like
you can hear
tiny
them.
Tiny little marbles.
Yes,
yeah.
they are.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be because it wasn't the grit. It wasn't sandy. It didn't cling to their paws.
It's not right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and it was supposed to be better for their lungs because there was no dust.
They're not inhaling the dust,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and there is no dust. However, it does get in their paws,
yeah.
embedded in their paws sometimes, some of these little beads. So studies have been done as to which kinds of litters cats like the most.
Okay.
And it's...
It's usually the ones we don't like the most?
No. It's
okay.
generally unscented, so
sure.
that we don't like. We want the scented litter. So it's generally speaking, generally because every cat really is different, unscented litter and the clumping litter.
That makes sense.
That the cats prefer. But there are many, many cats, millions of cats who could care less.
Craig, did you have a question about
it? Oh, no, we just have to take a break, and I just wanted to check in with the count again on how many noogies we're at.
What noogies?
Six times. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6.
You You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by our pet expert, Steve Dale. You can listen to him every Sunday at 6:30 to 7 right here on WGN. I assume garbage, not in a garbage can, by the way. That's where I need a metal lid there. If it's the garbage can's back there, I'm used to it.
You just
being,
tossed it anywhere.
I just threw it on. This is how I go to the shelter. I missed the garbage can. You have so many more stories you wanted to talk to us about. What's your priority? Tell us what you want to go to.
Well, the no kill, because this was so exciting. So I open up the newspaper in the morning and I see that two of Chicago's aldermen say, "We want a no kill city. Hooray." I love that.
We are total. How do you do that? I mean, like, no guns on the street. Do you make sure you get rid of all the drug dealers? I don't see
animals.
Saying.
Yeah. No,
I get
animals.
A noogie. Patty gets a noogie on that one. That's a noogie for me.
And Patty with one noogie. This is amazing. I'm leading.
Do I get a noogie, or do we take one away from?
Oh, yeah, maybe we should reduce his noogies.
Maybe
by
we just
one.
Reduce his noogies. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I do appreciate that. I think. I'm not even sure.
Or do I give mine to him? It's because he's encouraging noogie-type behavior.
Yeah, can you share noogies on the radio?
I'm really noogie-confused.
What does the FCC say about sharing noogies on the radio?
Completely illegal. Wow.
All right,
okay.
Then.
No, go ahead. Move on.
So you saw the headlines. Chicago's going no kill.
Yeah. So the question I have is, can you legislate such a thing? And frankly, I don't think you can. Now, I'm grateful.
For the shelters, you mean?
Yeah.
You can't force them?
Well, it's more than even the shelters. It's a mindset of the entire city.
Right.
So you have all these animals that are delivered to a shelter, an open admission shelter. They don't want to kill or euthanize the animals.
Right. They're not doing
it's
it.
It's not their fault.
Right. They're not doing it as a hobby.
No. The animals are brought to their doorstep, and in fact, legally, legally, it's a law. And it's a good law. They have to accept the animals. Otherwise, we'd have them roaming in the streets, you know? So that's a good thing. And if there aren't enough homes for those animals, again, I'm not sure that's something that can be legislated.
Right, because it's about resources. And I'm only answering, I mean, I want these to be no-kill shelters.
I do, too.
Don't want animals to be destroyed. Sometimes, and this legislation, I believe, is to, if it's medically necessary.
Well, legislation is not even the right word. It's a resolution.
Okay.
And the resolution is to support, that the city would support what the shelters and other facilities need to help them move in that direction. That's probably a better way realistic way to put it. And I do credit Alderman Lopez, who I had on my show this Sunday, and you can listen to the podcast at WGNradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
He's sincere about this. I really believe that. He wants to see the number of euthanized animals diminish in Chicago, and I think we're getting there. When I first started doing what I do, the number was about 80% that never made it out of animal control 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's 20%. Now, is that 20% too many? Yes and no. Yes, it is still too many. But to your point, you know, if an animal is very, very ill,
mm-hmm.
probably the most humane thing to do is to euthanize. If you have a aggressive dog that is seriously aggressive, I don't know that there are the resources to try to rehabilitate a dog in some really difficult to rehabilitate. Having said that, there are other dogs, and one of the solutions to all this and one way to move toward no kill is to provide behavior help for these animals that are in the shelter, and behavior help, more importantly in a way, for the animals still in homes. That's the number one reason why they land in shelters, is perceived bad behavior.
Right.
So the dog is barking when people aren't home and the landlord says that dog's got to go. Or as we talked about, the cat misses the litter box one too many times. The husband says that cat's got to go. So solving those behavior issues and having professional resources available for people to do that is hugely helpful. We now have a rescue community in Chicago that's amazing. And to involve those people even more than they are now, to get more foster families, to get the magic, the secret sauce for cats is to get them out as soon as possible, especially
right.
kittens, because mm-hmm. they get stressed when they're overcrowded, then they get sick, and then they die. So this all can be prevented if they're not in there in the first place, but then where did they go? You know, so we need foster homes, particularly for cats. We need to solve the pit bull issue.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the population of the CACC is overburdened with a lot of pit bulls.
As it's the case in every major city around the country, and, you know, I prefer to say pit bull type dogs. They're just dogs that have that profile we call pit bulls.
And what's the profile? Stronger, it's just, muscular.
Picture. Close your eyes. Picture in your head what a pit bull looks like. But genetically, they're not pit bulls. They're mixed breed dogs.
So even if it's not a pit bull, people are also still getting rid of them. They're dropping them off or abandoning them.
They are doing both, you know. And most of them, the overwhelming majority, are really good dogs. So how do we find homes for dogs that aren't little white fluffy dogs that people want, you know? So how do we do a better job at marketing those dogs? So there are lots of issues that are good issues that need to be discussed and can't be, in my opinion, legislated by even
or,
the most well-meaning.
Resolved.
Yeah, right. Yeah, by even the most well-meaning alderman. Having said that, I am optimistic for more so than ever, and I've been around doing this for over 20 years now, about Chicago Animal Care and Control, and more optimistic based on my conversation with Alderman Ray Lopez, because I really believe he is absolutely sincere about wanting to do this. And it's the first time that I've noted an alderman having this intense interest in helping.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
And this will, you know, so I did get a couple of Facebook posts and tweets that said, but Steve, what about the dangerous living here in Chicago? Why don't we have a no-kill city for people? And you know what, though? If we can help animals, we'll be more humane. And it's been shown if we're more humane toward one another, we will, toward animals, we will be more humane toward one another.
He got all poetic there. Can you take away a noogie from Steve Dale? We'll take one off.
We're down to just four noogies for Steve Dale.
We're shocking.
This on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Steve Dale. Just saying off the air, we were talking about doing other shows. You've appeared on Bill and Wendy's show as a regular as well, and I heard you talking about this huge story. I never liked watching this show anyway. Cesar, what's his name?
Cesar Millan.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't the like his practices to begin with, yes.
No, I was one of the first. You're right. I was one of the first to say, way back when, I don't know how many years ago it was.
And people got mad at you for saying
oh,
that.
They sure as heck did. Yeah, and they still
he was
going
to use a different word there. Let's take a noogie away from him because he was going to use something more forceful.
They
I could hear it in his tone.
You're right. They still do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, listen, the guy has wonderful charisma. He is a fine television performer. In person, he's a nice enough guy. Mm-hmm. You know, we chit-chat when we see each other. But I'm sure he doesn't care for me because I'm the first person who said that his techniques are hugely disconcerting, if not downright inhumane.
Dangerous. You said
dangerous at times.
Could be lethal in one instance that you
yes,
saw.
Yes, yes. And I was on the board of the American Humane Association at that time. And as a group, we went to National Geographic Channel. We said, this isn't right. You know, I'm concerned. We're concerned as a group that someone watching the show, particularly a child, may try one of these techniques, get bitten, then the dog loses its life,
right.
The child gets very, very hurt. That actually did happen, I believe, several times during the run of the show.
Mm-hmm.
What dog training show, though, would you be concerned? I mean, this is supposed to be a fun show. So they actually put up warnings on, and they still appear on the reruns because he's not doing that show anymore.
Right.
But they still appear, you know, that essentially say, don't try this at home. You know, the pop-ups that come up on the screen.
Wow.
So there was one episode recently on his new show where there was a pig that the dog attacked a pig. And the owner said, how do I prevent my dog from attacking other animals, including pigs?
Don't let bacon run around the pet property.
Well, yeah, fence would be helpful,
right.
You know, a tall fence. But what Caesar did is he put the dog in with several of his pigs on his property that he apparently has. So that's okay. He had the dog on a long leash, no muzzle. So you don't know what's going to happen. But the dog still is on a long leash. You can control the dog. What's sensible to any dog trainer anywhere is positive reinforcement at the time that the dog shows some. So it's desensitizing and counter conditioning. You have the dog far enough away from the pigs where the dog really doesn't care. You give the dog some treats, have the dog focus on you, and get a little closer, a little closer, a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some time to do, but it can be done. With some dogs just have a prey drive, and it's a challenge. And the best answer, you're right, is just to keep them separate, period, and don't expect anything else. But Caesar took off the leash. I don't know why. And the dog proceeded to do nothing. He lucked out until it appears, when you watch it in slow motion, that some production assistant or someone took one of the pigs And by taking the pig and grabbing the pig squealed. The dog was set off predictably. Oh. Predictably. So the dog went at that point went after the pig, bites the pig's ear pretty badly, and Caesar then proceeded to turn over the dog on its belly, on its back, which is the old, old 1950s style way of punishing a dog, but the dog learns nothing from that. Then does his ch-ch-ch noise that he makes. Again, I'm not sure what the pig would learn. I mean, the dog would learn from that. And then takes the dog back later, part two of the same episode, takes the dog back and forces the dog, who doesn't want to be anywhere near the pig, to stare at the pig. He literally is sitting down on the leash so the dog can't go anywhere. That's called flooding. Facing your fears is the best way to put it. And then actually ties a leash to the pig. The dog's on one end of the leash. The pig, supposedly the same pig he attacked.
What, now the pig's walking the dog?
Now the pig is walking the dog, but kind of running fast because the pig, I think, is scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, for good reason.
So I'm attached to this dog that wants to kill me.
Yeah. And actually, Caesar lucked out at that point because nothing else happened, but I think it's just a matter of luck. My point in writing all of what I wrote, which is on my blog, stevedale.tv, is that it's inhumane, the whole thing that he did. And I'm sure so he's under charges now or under investigation and maybe charged with animal cruelty because livestock matters, pigs matter.
Are there more stories coming out after that? I would imagine that whenever there's sort of a break in the dam.
Yeah, you're right about that in general, but the dam was broken by me and others years ago.
Oh, right.
And we would point to things like that just weren't right. Some of them were downright dangerous and some of them were just kind of inhumane. And whether he was using choke collars or forcing dogs that were afraid of, you name it, to face their fears, which is a big thing he does, being dominant over the dog. People are never dominant or not dominant over dogs. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't work that way. Dogs know we are not dogs.
Well, that makes sense.
You'd think, but not according.
Especially if you take enough showers.
But not according to him, necessarily.
I wanted to say that there was a caller who asked you about having their dog disciplined, and she was going to have it sent off. And you told her, don't do that. You don't want them out of your... Well, the other thing is you also want to participate, I would think, in how your dog learns so that you can then reinforce it going forward. You want to be your dog's trainer for the rest of its life.
All correct. So if you have a young puppy... Part of the reason why I love puppy classes is not only because a good dog trainer will teach the owner stuff and answer questions about house training or whatever, but it's also, at the end of the day, as closely related as we are to dogs, on an evolution scale, we kind of are. Mm-hmm. We evolved with dogs. They're not close to us like great apes. I don't mean it that way. But we evolved together.
There's impacted each other in our evolution.
Yeah, and dogs are born kind of like wanting to understand us. Having said
that, good luck with that.
Well, right. It's two species and learning to communicate, that opening that window of communication from one end of the leash to the other is important. That's one thing. And it also is an opportunity for young dogs to be socialized. You don't know what's happening if you send the dog off to boot camp. And if the dog has a behavior problem, if it's a Cesar Millan type trainer, and
exactly.
I would say this if he were sitting right here, that person could do more harm than good and probably would.
Right. Right. So be there, be present for your dog's
friend. And anytime your dog is seeing a trainer, whether it's for a behavior problem or just puppy class.
Right.
And if you get that feeling in your stomach that it's not right, it's not right.
It's
if
not
the
right.
dogs aren't wagging their tail and people aren't smiling and having a good time, go
run,
somewhere else.
Run.
Yeah.
Well, on to happy things, we also have a cat cafe coming to Chicago.
Oh, this is the most exciting news. It is.
Craig's like, this is not as exciting as Deadpool.
Yeah, I mean, the Superman movie's coming out. But yeah, yes. Cat thing.
Yes.
This is more exciting than a Superman movie.
Sure.
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, so these are...
Friday.
Wonder Woman's in it.
No, Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman would hang out here.
At the Cat Cafe.
Yes, that's how cool this place is.
Now we have to make that happen.
Yes.
We have to dress up.
Once it
and
opens.
Go to... We can borrow some costumes.
Well, no, Steve's got to do it too then.
We
he just listed
costume.
Three superheroes.
I would.
See three
who are you dressing up as?
Well, which you're Wonder Woman, clearly. So who am I?
Well, it's up to you. You can pick.
What do you think?
Batman or Superman?
Steve, you have to pick. It was your idea.
Don't make him give you a noogie.
Am I more Batman-like or more Robin-like?
Oh, well, we're not going to go with Robin.
Yeah, Robin's not Superman. In the movie.
Yes. Well, that's not right. You're cutting. He's out of a job now.
Robin is in the movie. She is actually going to appear.
Robin?
Robin.
Robin's a she?
In the movie.
Oh. Really?
It's based on a comic book. I could nerd out, but let's stick to the point. What character are you, Steve?
I would be Batman.
Okay, because that is actually named after an animal, so that kind of connects,
I
right?
I like that.
There you go. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So
yeah,
I get to be Superman.
You get to be Superman.
That's the best part.
At the Cat Cafe.
Oh, that's fine.
What are we doing at the Cat Cafe?
I don't know.
We're not serving.
Craig's like, what am I doing?
We're not
Why
serving.
Am I here?
We're not serving kryptonite, that much
no,
I know. But catnip, for sure. So these places have become so popular all over the world. So it began in the Far East. And then kind of moved across through Europe and then the United States.
Okay.
And at some of these cat cafes, there's a line. You have to actually make reservations like you do at a 4-star restaurant to get in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible. So this will be the first cat cafe in Chicago and also the first cat cafe in America that's actually at an animal shelter. So I mentioned Treehouse and their working cat program earlier. Mm-hmm. Same shelter, Treehouse Humane Society, building a new building in West Rogers Park. And West Rogers Park will have a tourist destination because these cat cafes have been just that. People will actually travel to a city to sit in a coffee house.
With cats.
With cats, yeah. This is the coolest thing.
312-981-7200, please. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how it's a tourist destination.
Oh, people do this. So in New York City... When I was in New York City, of course, I was there with
love. They need a lot of love in New York City. I think we're a more loving city, so we're not. I don't know if we're seeking out cats in our laps.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. This is not. Oh, this is a big thing. This is the next big thing for Chicago.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I could see the mayor like. What do they call that when the mayor hits and opens a building and hits the? Or is that a
christening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or is that just a boat?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's
not a building.
He's going to break a champagne bottle on the cat cafe?
Well, or a bottle of jar of catnip.
Ribbon cutting? He's going to go to the ribbon cutting?
Is yes.
Is he going to have the shovel out there and break the
He'll toy? Have one of those fishing pole type toys with feathers.
I wish he would go over to Esmeralda's house. He should start practicing with one of those fishing rods.
I think the mayor should do that when this place opens.
He's trying to rebuild his image. I think playing with cats and cat toys is really
the
path.
Nothing better than that. And this is really exciting because the good news is, because this is at an animal shelter, these are all cats that will be adopted, and they're seeking homes. So this opens sometime this summer.
Okay.
If things go on schedule with construction and all that stuff. But it's exciting. The best news ever for Chicago.
Ever.
Ever.
Do you know, are you drinking your coffee and then the cat's on you? Mm-hmm.
Sure, if you want.
Because I'm just...
And if the cat wants.
I like cats and all, but... Like, that's going to be a lot of fur rolling around.
Don't they also really like milk? Like, if you put milk in your coffee.
Oh, no. Just cats drinking milk.
So the Tribune reporter did a story about it, and wouldn't you know it, he asked me that very question.
Really?
Yeah. You know, we don't put milk on the floor when we put it in our coffee in a
bowl. Says you. You don't know how I drink at home. You know?
Most people don't. So they pour it right into their coffee and they use those little thingies, you know, the little pourer things. So
I was trying to track what it was he was gesturing with. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Well, you know
with
what
his
I
coffee.
Mean? And the little
creamers?
Yeah, what, yeah, yeah, this, yeah,
the,
yeah.
The little packets?
Yeah, they don't.
Or there's a pitcher of cream?
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked to people that operate other cat cafes, and this has not been a problem. The reporter also asked me, won't people walk out the door with the cats, like stealing them?
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I mean, right now, you could walk into a shelter, I guess, and do that, but that doesn't happen, happily.
Yeah, cat thievery is not on the rise.
No, there are cat burglars, though, but that's a whole different thing.
But what about the cat? Is it like, okay. Craig is like,
yeah, all those questions.
What about like the tables? They're not going to stay off the tables and the counters. And I mean, because my cats were always on the kitchen table. And Steve's like, my husband was always like,
But if you don't, okay, so if you're offended by cats,
I'm not offended.
No, you probably
we're
don't
not
go
offended.
Here.
Go, go, You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by our pet expert, Steve Dale. You can go to stevedale.tv for his blog.
Yes.
Listen to him Sunday mornings from 6:30 to 7 a.m. Also, all those shows are podcasts at wgnradio.com. And another podcast you wanted to tell us about.
Yeah, so I do this podcast called Steve Dale's Other World.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh. Other
World. And I'm not talking about pets. I talk about everything else in the world. And I had, it was actually a thrill of my career. I interviewed Steve and Johnny. They have a book out called A Little More...
A Little More Less.
Yep.
It's
about
great,
Les Paul.
Yeah.
And, but we also talked about them and their careers and about Johnny's cooking and Steve's musicianship. I mean, he's a very good musician, actually. Mm-hmm. Talented
no,
guy.
Absolutely.
Back, you know, we talked about some of the old days in radio. But we also talked about Les Paul, who is an amazing guy. I had no idea until I looked at their book.
The same way. My husband went on and on about like the things he invented
yeah.
and how much his contribution to music has really changed.
And
the
at
way
some
we...
point in time, he couldn't even use one of his hands, and he was still playing the guitar with it.
Oh.
It was so arthritic because he was playing well into his 80s up till his 90th or 91st birthday or something like that. Just a fascinating conversation. It'll be posted tomorrow. You could find it at WGMplus.com or on my blog, which is stevedale.tv. And, of course, if you so desire, you can sign up for the mm-hmm. newsletters on my blog as well, stevedale.tv. Am I plugging that?
Yeah.
Did you hear me plug it?
I believe you did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm right. handing my – we're working on our wake-up call, the Pretty Late wake-up call. But your your other world, your
my
podcast.
Other world. Yes. So, yes, you could hear it. At, go to stevedale.tv. I think I post it tomorrow or Wednesday.
Excellent.
It was so much fun because I've been on Steve and Johnny's show probably 40, 50 times. I have no idea, you know, many, many times. And I turned the tables on them.
Nice.
And I had the opportunity to interview legends, true legends in radio.
Should I put this on the air, Craig? We're doing our wake-up call for Adam Selzer, who's one of our regular guests on
yep.
the show. I don't know if it's a wake-up call or just like, hey, what's going on?
Because
he's a night owl. He'll probably be very confused by this phone call. We don't know if we go to voicemail if we're going to get his phone number, so we have to be a little bit on the button a little
bit. Yeah,
we got
to throw that back and hold.
Yeah, we have to see. So we're calling.
Hey, you've reached Adam and the Smart Aleck staff. Please leave a message.
Oh.
At the tone.
We've reached Adam and the Smart Aleck staff.
When you have
Smart
finished
Aleck.
Recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Adam Selzer. It's Patty Vasquez.
And Craig Collins.
And?
Esmeralda.
And yeah. Steve Dale.
Yay.
He doesn't even know who I am.
He does know who you
yes,
are.
He does.
He's a regular listener
Everybody
of the show.
Knows Steve Dale.
Adam Selzer, you're our wake-up call. We don't
hey,
know.
Hey, Adam!
What's up, Adam?
Wakey, wakey!
Adam!
Get up!
Wow, now everybody that was trying to go to there are people that are trying to go to sleep right now, by
Not
the way.
Anymore.
Right. We've had a fun show. We haven't had you in studio for a few weeks. We know that your Sherlock Holmes event was very successful, so we'll have to get you in soon. But we've had a fun show tonight. We've been hanging out with our pet expert, Steve Dale.
Yes.
Told us about Cat Cafe that is opening up. I believe.
Exciting!
I think that Adam is a cat owner himself, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about
nice.
That.
Nice. Yeah, if so. Not, we can get him one.
And there is a movement in the city by some of our aldermen to go no kill. At shelters.
Great idea.
Although possibly unreachable.
Well, I'd like to think it's possible. The thing that isn't possible, though, are other aldermen who say, if you don't pick up in your backyard,
that's super crazy.
Yeah.
That's a big ball of crazy.
So if you do pick up in your backyard, no more rats. No,
well,
it doesn't
work
like that.
Adam's very involved in politics, and he has
Does
a lot
he know
of thoughts about,
rats?
About that. I don't know if he knows about rats.
He ran for president, by the way.
He did run for president. I believe he withdrew quite early on.
He both announced his campaign and suspended it on this show.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah, yes. I don't think he garnered. I think he got right. no delegates.
By the way, Adam, we also owe Trace Coscarones for Steve Dale tonight.
Yes.
Owe him three of those.
Some noogies for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm excited about all those.
What's the number I'm at?
Trace Coscarones.
Si.
Si. Es la verdad. We also, by the way, while we have Adam Selzer's voicemail on the line, we should let you know you can go to adamselzer.com and check out some of the books that he's written. He also does some of the tours and events for Atlas Obscura. And he does ghost tours in the city, so check out all of his information. But we also, we started the show talking a little bit. We went to C2E2. This weekend.
Yeah, we went to C2E2.
I'm surprised
that
Adam.
We talked to Yeni Alvarez.
We did talk to Yeni Alvarez about Cuba and the president's visit, the first president in over 60 years to land in Cuba.
We had a musical performance.
We did. We had Peasantry in studio. Nick and Cyrus played some great songs. Including lyrics about wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
They're going to be at Shuba's.
They'll be at Shuba's this evening at 9 o'clock, and it's all free at the Lincoln Hall Shuba's.
Right.
which is not the same location.
Lincoln Hall and Shubha's are two different things.
But they're not attached.
They are they're owned by the same people. I was saying this earlier today. They're owned, but they're two different venues.
But they're not in the same property?
No.
Okay.
So Lincoln Hall is on a different street, different address. It's a much bigger musical venue, and Shubha's is kind of the backside of the Shubha's bar.
Gotcha. Yeah. Which is the one I saw, the honey and the...
We went to Lincoln Hall for one of our things.
Oh. Yeah.
Which is bigger.
Which is, like, through the doors
of
Shubha's.
There's a bar actually on the entrance of Lincoln Hall, too, which makes it a little confusing, but behind that bar is a big, giant venue. Shubha's is a more intimate spot.
Lincoln Hall is across the street from the Biograph.
Correct. Oh. And Shubha's is on Southport and Belmont.
I believe you.
But they're not far from one another.
They're not far at all from each other. What did we talk about when we started the show? It was not about. It was not about
cat
C2E2.
Boxes.
We talked about.
Cats. Oh, we did talk about cat boxes. Actually, I feel like we talked about
and walking cats
and walking cats on
a
leash.
We had a pet-friendly show tonight.
We did have a very pet.
All shows should be.
Hey, look, Vic Vaughn's now up in the newsroom.
Morning, Patty. Morning, guys.
Hi. Do you have any pets, Vic Vaughn?
I feel so left out. I do not have a cat. I have a fat dog.
No,
he's
that's
on
fine.
A diet though. He's lost 8 pounds.
And about a lot of overweight pets in that. Newsroom.
Listen to your message.
Press
we've already reached the end.